There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, it's time for the unmasking of Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Hey, I'm Sean, live local talk over the next couple of hours. Phone number, and if you don't have, you may not even need it today. Although, I mean, you might. But the phone number and the text line, same digits. Maybe you want to put this in your contacts on your phone there. Put the contact in for 343-0106 for FM Talk 106.5. 343-0106. Works for phone call, works for a text. It works during Bill Finch's show on Sunday. It works for Sports Night on a Monday night. It works for Midday Mobile on a Wednesday and everything in between and outside those lines. So keep that number handy there because you may need it going forward. And a couple things here as we get into the show today. We're going to talk about this hour, the mask ordinance for Mobile. They will be voting on later today, Mobile City Council. Of course, they meet normally on Tuesdays. There's a little parliamentary issue there that was brought up by Councilman John Williams. So what did they do? Well, after they concluded yesterday's council meeting, they slated a new one for today. So not in a week, but the day after. So their meeting looks like they have the votes, and I have the latest edits here, the adjusted, amended, because, you know, we've been talking a bunch about the ordinance here, what the ordinance will say, what you will have to do, not do, all those things. And we had been looking through the first draft, or maybe the second draft of the ordinance. Now I have what I think is pretty darn close to the final draft they'll be voting on today. So we're going to go through some of the definitions of that and some of the exceptions in there and let you hear kind of what's in this and get your opinion on it as well this hour. So that's on the way. We'll do that in just a little bit. Also, coming up on Independence Day weekend, and we were talking today about the fireworks displays that I guess the easier way to do it is not even to talk about the cancellations anymore, but to talk about the ones that are on, right? I mean, there's been a lot of places around Mobile and Baldwin County that have canceled their fireworks shows for Friday or Saturday night. So it's probably easier to talk about who's still doing it. And thank you, Leanna, has put together this cool thing on her Facebook page. I want you to check it out. Lots of stuff on her page I want you to see. But when you go to FM Talk 106.5 on Facebook, you'll see the 4th of July fireworks events. It has a graphic, first of all. Can I play the audio on here? I don't know how she did that magic, Dalton, but it's pretty awesome. So we got fireworks going. You'll hear the sound of fireworks when you open up the tab there on our Facebook page, and you'll then get the listing to the fireworks displays that are on, like Bala Battery and Alberta and Robertsdale, Summerdale, Daphne, Baymanet, Oa, the Wharf, which, by the way, the Daphne display is, remember how that's going to work. You're going to be able to go to the fireworks display there at Tryon Park, but you will have to stay within your Freedom Ring. That is a ring of space that you're not to leave during the fireworks display, so you stay socially distanced. Which, by the way, is a good transition because we're going to get to the mask ordinance issue. We're going to talk about that. By the way, in hour number two, Todd Stacey joins us. We'll talk about the governor's presser yesterday and a couple other items of state importance. So we'll do that in hour two. But of course, the comedy and the irony of a Freedom Ring, a ring that you can't leave that's called a Freedom Ring. I mean, you can leave it, but you're not supposed to. That Freedom Ring there brings me to I don't know if it's true irony in this situation, but Okay, I want to run the cut. This ran a few minutes ago during the Westwood One, the national news update. So Barbara Starr from Westwood One gave this report about the Taliban bounty story.
Now we also know that the first information actually came in early 2019, a full year earlier than previously acknowledged. Some of the initial intelligence came in that the Russians were there trying to influence the Taliban in Afghanistan, pass money around. We know that some of the intelligence that they are looking at, in fact, was cash transfers and other intelligence developed from communications intercepts.
All right, so this is this the latest Russian move here from the Democrats, right? And I'm still, I'm somebody who would, I want to know the truth. You know, who knew what and when did they know it? But I'm going to bounce through this. So the White House, they say, was provided with that intelligence in early last year, indicating Russian actors were offering bounties to kill U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan more than a year before President Trump claimed he was not briefed on the same threat, according to a source familiar with the situation. So in other words, a unnamed source leak out of the White House. All right. I got to think, if we score the Trump White House, it has to be... one of the leakier in recent memory, I think, unless somebody can score it differently for me. I think it's pretty leaky. So the revelation came after the White House repeatedly denied President Trump had been personally briefed on similar intelligence this year, claiming the assessment wasn't verified. But a U.S. official familiar with the latest information told CNN on Monday that the intelligence about Russian bounties was included in the president's daily briefing sometime in the spring of this year. The written document includes intelligence community's most important and urgent information. All right, so they go through this and they try. It's one of these things that, well, he must have known, which we'll dig into this maybe and find out what you believe the president would have known or not about this. But the irony thing of it is, let's set the stage here. So it's Afghanistan. If you wonder about our commitment to Afghanistan and how, what kind of success we can have in Afghanistan, don't hold your breath, right? I mean, so President Trump's calling this whole Russian bounty story a hoax. But the irony of it is, first of all, do you believe that the Russians, would you be surprised? Would it shock you if the Russians were putting out a bounty on coalition forces? Well, I don't care about, I do care about coalition, but I care about Americans most, okay? Are you surprised by that? Should that piece of news dropping shock you? If it does, you're naive. It does, you're naive. All right. Also, of course, the interesting part of this, and I say the ironic part of this, or semi-ironic, not completely in the definition of irony, is that the Russians, you know, they fought their own war there in Afghanistan. Remember that? Against the Mujahideen? Remember that? And remember, there's a movie. You wouldn't have to read it. You've seen the movie. People like to watch, what is it, Charlie Wilson's War? The amount of money that we, the United States, were pumping in to back up what then we were talking about as freedom fighters, the Mujahideen in Afghanistan. And you could say by proxy, if we were funding the Mujahideen, we were giving them the tools of war, we were paying to kill Russians, weren't we? So I don't think any of us would be shocked that the Russians would be trying to kill our people, right? So just keep that noted. The Russians are not your friends, right? The Chinese are not our friends. We can deal with them and try to negotiate with them, but if you think that the Russians wouldn't take a chance to weaken the United States, that the Chinese wouldn't take a chance to weaken the United States, you're naive. So to act like that part of the world, which, by the way, the Russians, with none of the rules that we put on our military, none of the guidelines, none of the constraints we put on our military, wasn't there for the Russian military, was it? And guess what they had to do? What did the Russian military have to do? They had to leave Afghanistan defeated. So this is a several-tined discussion here, but one part of it is, when are we getting out of there? When are we getting out of there? And I personally know folks that have spent their time, served their blood, and obviously our American dollars, but most importantly, the blood of Americans in Afghanistan. But just because you did that at one point, how long do we keep doing and think, oh, well, this time it'll be different? This time, the Afghans, they will think we're super. They're great, and they're going to all step in line and become a republic. They're going to enjoy democracy. They're going to believe in equality. What are we doing? What are we doing there still? Yes, we have expended much blood and money there, but at a certain point, that doesn't mean you continue to do that. Okay, so we'll get into the nuances as more information comes out. Again, I'm not going to, like, day one, everybody decides whether this impugns or exonerates President Trump on information. I got to hear more on this. But I want to point out this idea, this shocking idea that's being bounced around in mainstream media right now, that can you believe it was kept from we the people that the Russians would be putting out bounties on American military in Afghanistan? Come on. You surprised? And if we want to, if I just want to make that globalist argument, well, then they're just paying us back. They're paying us back for when we funded the Mujahideen, which back then, remember, we called them freedom. They were freedom fighters back then, as they killed Russians. So, just point that out. We'll get into things that are way more contentious, like whether you have to wear a mask in the city of Mobile or not when we return on Midday Mobile. Fair? All right, good.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:21, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Hey, coming up in hour number two, Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, joins us. Lots to talk about from the Montgomery perspective and Governor Ivey's presser yesterday, where she herself said, you know, I could put a mask ordinance out myself, but I'm not. But she's just letting you know she could. All right, get into that in just a second, plus some audio from yesterday's city council meeting. All right, Dan saying on the text line, how many times did she just say intelligence? Many times in that report. Yeah, and obviously that's where the leak is coming from. It's intelligence firing back. And listen, President Trump picks these fights because if you follow the streak of command, they shouldn't do it. Of course, I agree. But that's what happens, right? You got the President Trump critiques the intelligence community, and then these leaks come out from multiple places. But what I'm saying is let's wait. Let's wait and see if it is shown that the president knew this. I still don't know. Once again, I still don't know. Should that have been communicated? Shouldn't that be expected? You know what I'm saying? This idea of shock that I hear, that the Russians would be doing this, it seems like a level of naivete that I know our men and women in the military do not have. They are not naive to who their enemies are out there. So, and to go way back, should we be surprised? Since we, in a way, in a proxy way, we're kind of doing the same thing, right? Of course, it was a lot colder in the Cold War back then, but, you know, we were financing those freedom fighters back then that were fighting the Russians. And the Russians couldn't beat them. With the gloves off, couldn't beat them. And I continue to go, why do we stay there? Tim says the Afghans are playing both sides. Tim, the Afghans are playing the Afghan side. Always expect that people will play in their national interest. And the problem I think we have in these engagements is the national interest is so contrary to what we would see, what we would want for people in freedom. And I think it's a thing that happened in Iraq, too. Not saying there's not individual groups of Iraqis that absolutely would be engaged in a republic and a system like ours, but there's trying to expect them to want what we would want for them is, I think we're projecting too much on that. Tim, they're playing both sides, but Tim, they're playing their own side. Sly Dog says the Trump Apology Network. That'd be TAN? I guess is that me, Sly Dog? I'm Trump. That's good. That's good. Trump Apology Network. Dude, if you think I'm the penultimate of a Trump Apology Network, you're missing out, dog, on that one. I mean, really? Really, man? What a simpleton view of the world. By the end of the week, I'm good. But Sly Dog, you're good because you fit in the, you know, by the end of the week, I got people say I hate Trump and people say I love Trump. And that's what I'm supposed to do. All right. That's a good idea. Unnamed texter. Seems like they could have had fireworks displays that people could have watched from their vehicles. You know, that's brilliant. Where were you at? Whoever you are on the text line, you need to talk to municipalities locally. Tell them, you know, tell them what's going on. All right. Okay, we'll get to this mask thing in a second. So what I have on hand here, I'm going to take a phone call, but I have on hand is I have, I guess, the final draft, final-ish draft of the ordinance as it will be voted on today by Mobile City Council. Before that, though, let's go to the phones, and it's Gary in Mobile. Hey, Gary, what's up?
Hey, Sean. Hey, I was just wanting to info some folks out there. If there's any question or if anyone's forgotten what the rest of the world thinks of our military, just click on your Netflix account there and rewatch Black Hawk Down.
Yep. Yeah, they're not, I mean...
That's enough.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, that's all you got to do.
Yeah. And, I mean, should we be surprised? That, I mean, should it be a shock to the people at CNN to report that the Russians would be taking out, offering bounties on U.S. military? Of course they are. They are not our friends.
No.
I question the Canadians, man. Okay, thanks. All right. Let's do this. I want to read through this and get you apprised of this because they'll be voting in the Mobile City Council. I know you said, well, they met yesterday, Sean. Well, they're meeting again today. So, the little parliamentary procedure move that was made yesterday to move the vote to the next meeting of the council, which would have been this coming Tuesday, had an end around that happened yesterday, and now actually they are holding their next council meeting today. So, and we said yesterday going into it, they had the votes at that point, they just couldn't call the vote. Now they can call the vote. So, some of the things that I've seen changed as I've looked at, I think this is the third iteration of Ordinance 39-019, an ordinance to require wearing face coverings in the city of Mobile during the COVID-19 public health emergency. Some of the things that stood out to me. So, the public place, remember we talked about whether you could be in your car, whether the UPS driver could walk up and you didn't have your mask on, would you be in violation there? So there's been some edits here. All right. So it's in section two. It's section one, part one, section two. Public place. So the definition there. Now it reads, any place other than an individual's home or personal vehicle that is generally open or available to the public, including retail stores and transportation services. So you and I can go riding in my truck, even though we're not related and we don't have to wear a mask. But transportation services, if you get on, you know, I think that's been the rule with the Wave Transit system. I think they, when they opened back up three, four weeks ago, you have to do it. But I guess that would be if I'm on an airport shuttle or something like that, right? Because that's available to the public. It's a transportation service. Then you'd have to be masked. All right. Social distance. So that they changed all the stuff that made it questionable whether, so once again, where you would have to wear the mask by this ordinance, any place other than your home or your vehicle, that is, now here's the exception, that is generally open or available to the public. So you could have a place that's not your home and not your vehicle, but if it's not generally open or available to the public, then you wouldn't have to be masked up. I think the social distancing line stayed the same, said maintaining at all times physical separation between individuals of not less than 6 feet. Now, I don't know if that is going to get you the $50 first offense fine, $100 second offense fine. And if so, does that mean our officers with MPD have to go out there with the tape measure and measure the 6 feet? You know, different than the nuns just had a ruler, right, when at the dance. But all right. Then it goes into exceptions, and started talking about exceptions the other day. It was children under two. Remember the discussions we had about that, and how are you going to figure out if a kid is two or three, or they're just a small four-year-old, and how are you going to tell a three-year-old? Those of us that have had toddlers in our lives, right, and three-year-olds in our life, you know, terrible twos often goes into the threes. Whatever you want the child, put shoes on. I'm not putting shoes on. Takes the shoe off, throws it. Put the shoe on. No, put the shoe on. Right, you've been there before with me, right? it would be a challenge for a mask. Well, they've amended that as well, that the original ordinance said children 2 and under didn't have to wear masks, the rest did. Now, in their exceptions, it's children 10 years of age and under that are accepted. So 10 and under don't have to wear a mask, 10 and over do. Also, number one here, outdoor activities in parks and other open spaces, provided social distancing is maintained. That's an exception. You don't have to wear your mask. This exception does not apply to outdoor activities in parking lots, shopping malls, congested sidewalks, or other populated areas. So they set up like a fair. I had to go over the bank earlier. They set up like a fair over here on Bel Air Boulevard by the mall, right? I guess that's going to be both a shopping mall and a parking lot. Then they said, number three here, persons for whom, these are the exceptions, persons for whom wearing a mask covering poses a substantial mental or physical health, safety, or security risk, such as persons who have trouble breathing or are unconscious. Once again, if you're unconscious, if you're not conscious and you don't have a mask on, you can't get the ticket. You're not going to get fined. It says, if you're incapacitated or otherwise unable to remove a cover without assistance. So that's on that. So those are the exceptions. Really, just three exceptions, but they moved, the big thing I have to see there is they moved the age on the children up on that. And so it's one of the big changes. We'll talk more about this when we get back. And of course, Mobile City Council meeting today to vote on this. That'll happen about 2 o'clock is the meeting. And I'm sure by this afternoon, this thing will be law. All right, be right back. Westwood One next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Got no answer for you. All right, welcome back. It's Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5 on this Wednesday. From the text line, what about restaurant drive-thrus? Are they masked? I don't know. Looking at the ordinance here, I would guess this is a tough one. Good question, because the person is in their private vehicle. The person working is in a public establishment and retail operation. So this is a doozy on the text. What about that? I would guess that you have to be. I have no idea. Obviously, the person serving the food would be masked. Do you have to be masked to receive the food from the person? Maybe because they have that partition. They have that plexiglass partition at. I'm going to have to get more information on that. But that is a great question. I do not know. So Jay asking this, dues-paying members of clubs or organizations not open to the public. All right, so Jay, the way I'm reading that is, if I go back here to the, the public place definition. And y'all, I'll send this to you if we can. It's hard for me to put a PDF up on Twitter. I know there's a way I can do it. But in this number two here under definitions, it says public place. So Jay says any place other than an individual's home or personal vehicle that is generally open or available to the public, including retail stores and transportation services. So if you have a private club, by definition, it's not open or available to the public. I'm doing my best interpretation of trying to read law here, right? The closest I came, I took the LSAT, you know, so I don't take what I say for anything. But it says public places, any place other than an individual's home or personal vehicle that is generally open or available to the public. So by definition, I would say even if that place is not, by exception, if that place is not your home, not your vehicle, but it is not open or available to the public, it would be like your home. You wouldn't have to mask. But that's my interpretation of it right now. All right. Let's see. This texture says, I do not plan on wearing a mask. When I am ticketed, I will fight the ticket by claiming wearing a mask is against my religion. Checkmate. You could do it that way. You can also do... I mean, Dalton brought up a good point this morning. See, there's exceptions, unnamed texture. There are exceptions for health conditions, right? So down there, it lists those exceptions for, I'm just scrolling through this. It says, yeah, it's for your additional exceptions, say persons for whom wearing a face mask covering poses a substantial mental or physical health, safety, or security risk. Okay. As such as persons who have trouble breathing. So if you say you have a health condition, they can't, I don't think law enforcement can make you define that. I mean, HIPAA-wise, although, Dalton, I think HIPAA just applies to people in the healthcare world. Maybe somebody can correct me. Because I'm not under HIPAA. I don't sign off on that, right? So, let's get, we're working our way through this. So maybe that, you can go the religious exemption there. Let's see. Yeah, Davis, I agree. It's better. It's this amended version is better. I absolutely agree. And this is not idealistically. I have my idealistic issues with this, but pragmatically, moving it from 2 to 10 years old for children, that's a smart move. If you're going to tell me that 3-year-olds, you're going to keep a mask on a 3-year-old, and then you're going to hold the parent accountable for it. Let's see. Do you think someone that had health problems, say they had problems breathing with a mask on, don't you think that it would be fair for them to wear a shield because you can't breathe? You would fall into that risk category, so you'd want to try to protect yourself. I don't think they have any intentions in trying to force people to do stuff, but they're trying to stop a spike and trying to keep from having to shut everything down again. But I don't think people understand it. Okay, that was a, Tim, well-thought-out text, and I think that's what's going on. Right? I mean, Governor Ivey said it in so many words. When Governor Ivey said, well, you know, because y'all, and I'm putting it in Sullivanese, but because y'all aren't acting right, I'm going to have to keep this safer at home order in effect because y'all aren't doing the social distancing. Tim, you're probably right in what they're trying to project and have happen. But the problem is, in doing that, you're making a law that you don't have plans of enforcing. And that, it's just like when somebody, I said it for years, now it's a different world, right? But when I said for years, quit calling everything racist, because first of all, I said it's bigotry, not racism you're talking about, but quit calling everything racist, because when there's something that's really racist, it's going to be, you know, it's going to hold no, it's Chicken Little, right? It's not going to carry the emotion it should. Well, when you run an ordinance like this, but you're not going to really enforce it, what are you saying to the people? Why don't you, at that point, you just put out you have another big presser, make sure this radio station and the TV stations are running the presser and say, dag blast it, people. We got a spike coming, and here's what we need you to do. It can be, because you do that, you're getting the same information across without putting law enforcement in position to have to make decisions on 6 feet of separation, and this person had a mask on, that one didn't, and that kid is 9 or that kid is 11 and they don't have a mask on. If you're going to put a law out, and Tim, I understand what you're saying. I think you're probably correct pragmatically. I'm just saying it undermines faith in government. That's why I don't like how much I ripped on Eric Holder, Attorney General, arbitrarily enforcing some laws and not others. It is one of the things that made me such a fan for so long of Jeff Sessions. And then as AG, I said, watch this. We're going to see some real changes because he's going to enforce laws like the marijuana laws. And then what will happen is Congress will actually have to do his job, because I'm a person that believes they should be able to vote state by state on marijuana. But that's an affront to the federal law. And Jeff Sessions would have enforced the federal law, which would have made the legislature, the Congress, do its job instead of, what is it, arbitrary and capricious with their enforcement. All right, to the phones. Jay in Mobile, first up. Hey, Jay.
Hey, but I think this law is stupid, stupid, stupid. It's ran by a bunch of cowardly people that don't know what they're doing. This disease is going to run its course. It's no worse than the flu, and probably not as bad as the flu. But we built up a resistance.
Well, for certain people.
We have got to continue moving on. Destroying our economy and this country right now is basically committing national suicide by doing stuff like this and all these riots.
Why has it changed? Why do you think, Jay, give me a second. Why do you think the change has happened? Because you have a Republican Governor Abbott in Texas. You got DeSantis in Florida. You have Mobile Mayor Sandy Simpson, who, what, a month ago, month and a half ago, said, hey, I think you should be wearing your mask, but I'm not for an ordinance doing this. He's now on board for an ordinance. What has changed, man? What's happening?
Fear. Same thing it always is. People are afraid. Nobody wants to be held responsible. They want to blame someone else, and they'd rather, you know, basically have nothing happen than anything good happen. What's occurred here is people are afraid. Nobody wants to be blamed if something goes wrong. Well, the sad truth about life is this. People are going to die no matter what you're going to do today. People are going to be killed in car wrecks today. People are going to get mad at their neighbor and have a shootout today. People are going to end up getting bit by sharks somewhere in the world today. There is danger in living, and there's danger in not doing anything. And we have a danger right now in not doing anything. Let me give you an example, Sean. Do you think that all these riots happened just because today? People were aggravated, they're tired of this, and they vented it out. It was probably 10 times worse than it would have been if people hadn't been dealing with the coronavirus.
Yep.
Because people were frustrated. They can't go to work, they're having to stay home, they're losing their house, they're losing their car, and it's not working. I'm going to tell you a real quick story, and I'll make it quick. Years ago, during the American Civil War, Robert E. Lee was holding the Union Army at bay for 3 years. They put Grant in command. He moved south at the Battle of the Wilderness. He got his line broken two places.
Sure.
He got beat by General Lee. At Spotsylvania, he got beat by General Lee. He kept moving south. At Cold Harbor, now listen to this. He lost 10,000 men in an hour and kept moving south until the war was won. We have got to keep moving south. We are going to have people die of coronavirus. That is a fact. We are going to have people die of all types of stuff. We cannot let it ruin our economy. We are a country, and we have to think of the greater good of our country and move south. Do the best you can to survive. Do the best you can to use common sense. Do the best you can to make sure we minimize the impact, but we have got to move south.
There we go. Jay, appreciate the call. And I think that's the first time ever, although, Jay, we could talk about it. Battle of the Wilderness, fascinating Eastern Theater battle from the Civil War. Man, that's a... It gets like no... You got to dig deep on YouTube to find the documentaries about that. All right, Bob is in Saraland. Next up, hey, Bob.
Hey, the Americans for Disabilities Act prohibits employers, businesses, government agencies from inquiring about your disability. The fine is $75,000 for the first and $150,000 for the second.
So therefore, that does apply outside the medical professionals for. I mean, it's kind of like HIPAA. Okay. So law enforcement couldn't that. They if you say I have a health condition, they can't say, well, what is it?
Right. As soon as they do that, they violated the law, and the Department of Justice actually has an 800 number to report violations of the Americans with Disabilities Act.
That's the last thing we need to do is put our law enforcement officers in a situation where they're having to ask people something that gets them reported to the Americans with Disabilities. Yeah, my gosh.
Right. Yeah, but same thing for some business owner who says, well, why the hell doesn't she have a mask on?
Right.
Well, he's in line for a $75,000 fine.
For just asking?
Just for asking.
So not even, if you say, why don't you have a mask on, and they say, I have a health condition, and it doesn't go further than that, you can still get called in?
No, that's fine. As long as he doesn't go beyond
the
that.
Next
but
step.
If he starts wanting the specifics of your health condition or... You know, you look perfectly healthy to me.
Right.
It's same as passing judgment on people with the handicap tag. You don't know what's wrong with them, and you really don't need to know. Somebody signed off on it, and they have a condition.
Well, when I see somebody half jogging into the Best Buy when they get out,
I'm with you.
And having family members that really need them, makes me want to trip somebody hard enough to maybe give them a handicap tag.
Handicap, yeah, I'm with you there, but. You know, you're just not supposed to inquire about certain things, I guess.
There we go. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the info. This from a text. Okay, here we go. This is the question. So as a law enforcement officer, I can tell you MPD officers have no intention of enforcing this, nor do they have the resources to do so. It's a joke. Thank you for seconding that. That's what I thought. How are we going to ask them to do this? What resources do they have to do it? So we're going to pass an ordinance that really is a messaging bill, right? All right, coming back to the phones next, 343-0106.
This
is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, yeah, I got it. I'm going to try to get to that. Look at that fireworks chart. Dalton just delivered here a chart of the states that use the most fireworks. Now, this is the stuff I'm into. Break those stats out here in just a second. All right, back to the phones. And phone number, by the way, if you didn't catch it at the beginning of the hour, because I'm doubling down and reminding folks, because sometimes I push back pie stuff. I'm like, oh, everybody knows that. No, they don't. Phone number is 343-0106. Also works for the text, but I'd love to hear your voice. So 343-0106. Maybe put that in your contacts for just FM Talk 106.5. Put it in the phone there. All right. To the phones. And David is in Mobile. Up next. Hey, David.
Or you can be like me and just pre-program it into your phone.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They put it in their contacts.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it, because, I mean, I forget my own number, so.
To answer that last caller, the way if they wanted to enforce it, the way that the police would get around the ADA is they'd say you're not wearing a mask, you'd say you have a medical condition, and then all they would do is write you a ticket, and then it would be incumbent upon you to go to court to prove that you fall into that one of the exceptions laid out in the ordinance.
I don't know how far this stuff goes. I'm not well educated in this. Can the judge make you say what the condition is?
He can't make you say what the condition is, but if you go to, especially for misdemeanors, if you go to court, cop says, testifies, you say, I have a medical condition, and the judge asks you, to prove your testimony, and you say, I refuse to, then it's your word against the cop's word, and 9.9 times out of 10, the judge is going to take the cop's word.
So the last thing we need to do is put law enforcement in that position. I mean, it's
exactly.
That's what I worry. I understand that this is a big hip nudge for people to act right, but when you put it in as an ordinance, don't you weaken law if you put laws out you're not really going to enforce or can't?
I completely agree. And to that end, about the ADA and medical conditions, Sean, I think the crazy and mobile pool that you and I live in is about to get a whole lot more crowded, because one of the exceptions is if wearing a face mask causes you mental distress, then you can be exempted. Well,
it does.
Anger.
It does cause me mental distress, man. Put them on, I feel like I hear a clock ticking or sands through the hourglass till I can get the thing off.
Or not even that. All you got to do is anger and frustration are forms of mental distress. So if for being forced to wear a mask makes you angry, you are mentally distressed by that, and therefore you can be exempted from the ordinance.
See, here we go. David, I appreciate that. But, I mean, just they should have just come out with another big pressure and, one of these, y'all quit doing whatever you're doing and listen here. We're going to put it on FM Talk. We're going to have a big pressure. We're going to put it on the TV station, on the TV stations. We're going to stream it on Facebook. We'll make some kind of TikTok video out of it. Whatever. Here's the information. Here's why we need y'all to wear these masks. Instead of making it an ordinance that now has to be enforced, it has fines, and to have that happen, then law enforcement has to go out and go through the pages of this and see if somebody's in violation. And don't you know the way the world works, the Gladys Kravitz of the world will be out reporting, I see looking out through their Venetian blinds, I see somebody out there in violation, let's get law enforcement off what they're doing right now and get them out here to bust a mask violator. All right, Tony in Fairhope up next. Tony?
Hey, Sean.
Hey, man.
I spent over 40 years in the construction business and heavy industry and industrial work. We could not even ask somebody to put on a face mask. We could not allow it unless they had a waiver from their employer. Our own employees could not wear a face mask unless they had a fit test done by healthcare professional.
So it was like a reverse of what we're talking about. You had to
absolutely.
You were allowed to wear the face mask, you had to present documentation that you could.
You could not just come into work with a face mask on unless you had documentation. Huh. And I could not ask you to wear a face mask, and legally.
But you can ask me to wear a hard hat or steel-toe boots, right, on the job site?
Of course, yeah. Of course. But a face mask can restrict your breathing and cause people to pass out. It's a huge liability. That's what the whole industry is about, is liability.
Sure. And so this puts, I mean, the way you're talking, this would put the liability on the people that pass the ordinance, right?
Correct. You cannot, if you tell me to wear a mask and I pass out because of lack of oxygen, whose fault is that?
Yeah, you're complying with the law.
Right. But you can't comply with the health and safety OSHA requirements on a construction site unless you're certified that you can handle that mask and breathe with it properly.
So you've now added in a whole new different dimension to this.
I mean, even in a dusty environment, I could not ask somebody to put on a face mask. They had to bring a something from the employer saying it was okay, or sign a waiver. I have a waiver signed by their employer.
Tony,
it's not allowed.
Tony, you've now made this even more confused. You know that?
It's an OSHA requirement. Let's put it this way: it's an insurance requirement. We did a lot of work on military bases, and I could not ask anybody to wear a mask.
Wow, rules on top of rules on top of rules. Tony, I appreciate your call. Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, is going to join us here in just a few minutes. Plus, I'm going to try to work this in because it's a ranker here on the states that use the most fireworks. And I'm not saying that I'm part of what gets Alabama its high ranking, but I do what I can.